Now, I believe you and I, we live in such a difficult times. It's really tough, challenging, and it's really difficult to live in this era and this world. Why? Because we are in a full spiritual battle, a full spiritual warfare. There are strong oppositions, strong challenges, and confusions even, that challenges every aspect. I mean, we live with these challenges. The society in this world will challenge us what we know and what we believe in, and even challenge the order of creation. Everything is confusing. And we as believers must stand firm and armed and trained in faith ever more so strongly than before. Because we can easily get confused or lured away. Now, as the end times draw near, I mean, if you would illustrate this, I like to illustrate this way. Do you know the funnel? I mean, funnel that looks like this, and it goes to the end. And as you travel the funnel, it comes to more closer to the end, it gets faster and faster. As you travel the funnel, it comes to the bottom part, and just before the ending, it's the quickest and the fastest. And I believe that as we live this end times, God is working so fast, so speedily, speeding things up. And we will see very soon this ending appearing to us. Now, I am starting a new series of the message called Why. Why? I believe asking and questioning why is a great blessing and privilege that God has given to us. What is faith? Faith is believing something inside that it doesn't even, you know, is visible. Even if it is invisible, we still believe. And some Christians, if they ask why, they are stumbled. They're, you know, offended because you don't ask anything about faith, you just believe. But we need to hear this message from the Bible, 1 Peter 3:13. But in your hearts, revere Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know, we don't blindly believe. No, when someone says to you, how do you believe? You know, you don't answer. You just believe. Just believe. I don't think that's the right way to believe. We need to be reasonable. We need to think in terms of logics, why I believe and what I believe in. We're told to be prepared to give answers when there are questions, doubts, and inquiries about our faith and hope. We need to know why I believe and, you know, what we believe in. So the Bible commands us that, and we are going to look at some of the important whys of faith. And starting from the very beginning. And today I'm going to give you a message on the creation. Why God created. And think about this. You know, we know God created, but we don't really know why. Let me ask you this way. Do you think if we ask God to answer some logical or reasonable questions that we bring to Him and ask Him why, do you think God would be offended? No. God is absolutely welcoming or okay with any questions that we bring. God is not intimidated. He is not offended by questions that we bring. In fact, the Bible truth does not hinder, is not altered by any questions that we bring. I believe we as Christians, we should be able to reason our faith and be ready to give answers to what we believe in. Why? When we ask why, our faith is not lessened, is not diminished, but we will be more grateful for the essence of our faith, knowing the contents of our faith and why is up to faith, that our faith in Jesus will grow and we will be more affirmed in our faith. So today we're going to start this first series, Why and Why Did God Create? Why? Now, first, the Bible clearly reveals the big picture why God created the entire universe, the heavens and the earth and every human beings and life. They are created for one purpose, for God's glory. Why were the entire universe, the natural world, the life in every kind of form, all humanity created? We are all created for God's glory. This is what it says in Isaiah 43. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The immediate context of this passage is referring to the Israelites. They were in exile, and God is giving this hope, a message of hope. Now, you are in exile, but one day I am going to collect everybody from all corners, north, south, east, and west. I am going to collect all of them back, and I will bring my glory through them. It is talking about the return of the exile, but there's a far more deeper meaning, and there's far more deeper message. Now, from the very beginning of the Bible, from the Genesis to Old Testament, there is a recurring pattern, a rhythm of scattering and gathering. One more time. From Genesis to Revelation, there's this theme, one thing that is over and over repeatedly, and repeated, that is to scatter and to collect. Remember in Genesis, God, when he created, he told over and over again this, to be fruitful and increase and fill the earth. Be fruitful, increase, and fill the earth. It was commanded four times in Genesis, once in Exodus, and once in Psalms. And so we see this. God wants us to disperse. God wants us to go ahead and fill the earth and go to the uttermost parts of the world, to go to everywhere and be scattered. And then, God is collecting us back to gather, to form back again. And today's passage is one of that. God revealed his plan to collect the dispersed and scattered people in the future. In Genesis, Exodus, and Psalm, he was telling us to be scattered. And then here in Isaiah, he wants to collect back his beloved people. All who are called by his name. All the church, all the believers and saints who believe and know Christ and Jesus and God in their heart, God will collect them in one day. Not only here in Isaiah, but in the very end of the book in Revelation, it is repeated one more time. The God will in one day, in the day of Jesus Christ, from every place and every nation, every direction, they will come together as one. And they will all in one voice will lift their voices and proclaim glory, praises to God in one day. You see, that's a pattern, scattering, but gathering. Now, that's the ultimate and grand purpose of God's creation. God wants to disperse people, and then in one day, he will all collect them back in one heart and one voice to praise God, glorify God in all together. Now, we're going to bring this into a personal question. That's all good, but why did God shape me, form me, gave life to me? The Bible answers this. I exist for this same purpose, the single one purpose, for the glory of God. And that's my life. I was given my life, my being, my existence. All I exist for this one purpose. I am created, I am born with a purpose of worshiping and honoring and praising, glorifying God through my life. And only the Bible gives that answer. Only the Bible tells us that I am created for something. Why were we created? Scripture answers this question with one clarity and remarkable clarity. I am created for one purpose. I am a teleological, a purposeful being. I'm not just happenstance. I don't just be here. I am here because of there is a purpose to praise, glorify God. So never miss this. Why did God create me? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I here? God wants me to honor Him and glorify Him as I live every second of my life. Know this, God did not create universe. God did not create anything. God did not create you and me just because He was bored. He was insufficient, inadequate, or unsatisfactory. No, no, no. God in triunity, in three person, they were just perfect harmony and perfect unity. Yet, God, why did God bother to create? God created to share His love to us. God wanted to share His almighty love to His creation. Creation was God's perfect, full, and radiant love communicated to us. God let us know that He is the Creator in love, and He wants to communicate that to us. Let us know that God created us for one purpose, to have relationship with Him. That's why in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Not only you and me, but the entire universe, every single thing out there, all the stars, the galaxies, the Milky Ways, and all these stars in the universe, all the life forms, everything in this world, they are to respond in glory, and they are singing glories to God, the Creator. You and I, we have one mission and one purpose. And that is, we are created for God's glory. Now, we're going to go into a little detail about this, why God created. Now, first, we must consider prior before the creation. And you would think the creation, when you open the Bible and you see the creation account in Genesis 1, therefore, we think creation was the first thing that had ever happened. Well, we need to think a little bit more, because before the creation ever happened, there was God's plan, pre-planned before creation. God planned something, and the creation is the outcome of God's plan. So we need to know there was decree before the creation. Now God is omnipotent and omniscient, meaning God knows everything and God can do everything. God, who is perfect, who existed before the time began, He had a plan. What is His plan? This plan that preceded the creation. Before creation ever happened, God in His foreknowledge, there was a plan and purpose, and creation happened because of this decree. We ask, why did God create? We need to know that the entire universe, the world, sin, suffering, pain, salvation, life, all are eternally planned before time and matter. The universe, heaven and earth, all life forms testify God's plan and providence fulfilled and established. And what was the content of God's pre-plan? There are two things. Number one, it says, before creation, God graciously decided to save the fallen and disobedient. Number two, God, before the creation, He decided to give life through His Son, Jesus Christ. These two things are the pinnacles. We're going to go into each one of them. The first, highest peak, the ultimate pinnacle of God's glory, is God's grace. I mean, God, He said, I pity those who rebel against me. I sympathize those who would sin against me. I love those who would do wrong against me. Therefore, I will save the sinners. That's an unmerited, undeserved grace. We don't deserve that. God didn't have to do that. Why? We have wronged and we have rebelled and we have sinned against God. God did not have to provide any ways to save us. But there's this wonderful pinnacle of God's grace. God graciously wanted to offer us, bestow to us, grace to us, even before we have done anything good to God. Before creation, God predestined, God graciously planned to adopt those who would do wrong, but he would still choose them to be his children of God. In God's love, he chose us. He chose us before the creation. This is what Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 4 says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. There are two things here. Number one, God, it was grace. God decided to save the sinner. You and I don't deserve this. No one deserves God's grace. Why? We have done anything right. Yet, God predestined, even before the time began, even before the creation, even before anything happened, God decided in his heart, I am going to offer my grace to save the sinners. We were not chosen based on how we respond, how well we lived, or how we performed our good deeds and works. No. Rather, God chose us by his sovereign grace. How did I come to faith? I mean, you think about this to yourself. How did I come to faith in God? I mean, when my parents, my folks, my siblings, my buddies, my acquaintances, my relatives. There's so many people don't know God. But how did I come to know God and accept this faith in my life? There's no other explanation. God chose me. God selected me. God called me when I didn't know God. I have received God's unmeasurable and incomprehensible grace. I don't know why, but God chose to offer his grace so that I can respond, I can know God, I can believe in God. God planned this even before the creation, or even ever anybody done wrong. In God's mind, it was already decided to offer his grace to us. The other highest peak and the ultimate pinnacle of God's glory is this, that God has given his Son, Jesus Christ, to us. How can we be saved of our own sins? God said, all right, you can't do it. There's no other way, means or ways that you can come up with it. I'm going to offer my solution. My Son, Jesus. I am going to give my Son to the people that I chose so that those who can believe in Jesus, those who would come to Jesus, can accept Jesus, and they can be saved. It is impossible for any other creature, any other attempt, method, approach, or any other path that Anybody can reach to God's glory other than Jesus Christ. The triune God, who existed together from eternity before the creation, has planned to offer that grace to give his Son Jesus, so that when people sinned, people have wronged, people rebelled, they will have a way to come back to God, to be restored back to God, to be forgiven back to God. And that was his Son, Jesus Christ. We, the church, through Christ, who raised us from death and saved us, we praise God, we honor God, and we worship and glorify God, because all these was already planned by God's grace. There was nothing that we did to make God to do this. It was purely God's grace. God already knew that we would turn our back against him, we would rebel against God, we would sin our life. But God not only allowed that, but he willingly was willing to work even amidst of those rebellions and sins. Why? Because God wanted to communicate, show God's love to us. God's infinite love and grace to save us from our sins, so that we would in turn glorify God, praise God in our life. So I want to conclude our message today, reminding us that how are we going to glorify God in our life? Number one, never miss the most important, a life that glorifies God. You and I, we are here today for the one single purpose, one sole purpose, and that is to glorify God. I mean, if we constantly fail to praise God, if we constantly fail to worship God and glorify God, you know what God is going to do? God is going to give an opportunity. God is going to wait for you patiently. Wait. But if I am neither cold or hot, God is going to spit away, just abandon. That's what the Bible tells us. If the church and believers constantly fail to praise God and worship and honor and glorify God's grace and his love, they are quenching or they're extinguishing the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, if we offend the Holy Spirit, if we sin against the Holy Spirit, there will be sin, forgive. If their sins cannot be forgiven, we need to take that as a warning. If we constantly fail to worship God, we are sinning a grave sin against God. A life of worship and praise and glorifies God. That is the utmost important thing that we do in our life. Never stop glorifying God. Number two. How do we glorify God? We need to practice the proper way to glorify God. Let's just say this. A soccer player who drives the goal and he makes the goal and he kneels down and he praises, glorify God, after he makes a goal. Is that glorifying God? The other end, who failed to block his goal, a goalkeeper who happened to be a Christian, who failed to block the goal, then he who made the goal glorify God, and the other goalkeeper hindered God's glory? That doesn't make sense. Again, you and I, we achieve something. We make something successful. I have achieved something great in my life, and then I shout to God, glorify God. Is that glorifying God? When other co-workers, other buddies, other people who have failed to promote, be promoted, who have achieved, those who work together happen to be Christians, are they hampering or hindering God's glory? To glorify God, we must praise, exalt, and worship God through faith in Christ Jesus, who have showered us with his grace. After succoring or scoring a goal, you don't say glorify God, you say thank you, God. Thank you, God. After you make any successful achievements, you know, promotions in your life, you don't say glorify God, you say thank you, God. How do I glorify God? Jesus ought to be at the core of glorifying God. And there are three things that needs to be there to glorify God. Number one, we need to be positioned in Christ Jesus. I have to have Christ in me, that to offer grace and glorify God. Number two, I need to place all my hope and all my desire only in Christ, in God. Oh, I want to become something important. I want to achieve something fashionable. I want to be somebody. Well, you can't glorify God with that desire. Your sole purpose and your goal ought to be pleasing God through everything you do in your life. That's how you glorify God. Number three, you praise and exalt God's love and his grace. We don't do anything without God's love. We cannot achieve anything without God's grace. You admit, acknowledge that every single thing, our praise team, our prayer choir sang this today, everything is God's grace. And without that acknowledgement, that confession that, yes, it is your grace, it is your love that I am here, that I'm doing these and I'm able to do these things and enjoy these things, have these things, can do these things. All is God's grace. Without that, you don't glorify God. So three things must be there that I want to please God in Christ. I have Christ in me, and in Christ I come to glorify God. And all I do, there's one single aim and purpose. Not my glory, not my achievement, not my success, but to you, Lord, my success, my money, my achievements, they are for you, for your church, for your glory, for your kingdom expansion. And I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. It is your grace, God. It is your mercy and love that I am able to do these things. And that's only when we can glorify. May we all be armed with faith, right faith, strong faith, so that we will be ready, prepared for any confusions, any attacks, any strong oppositions that we can face and we are going to face in this difficult and challenging times. May Christ Jesus, may I continue to have an unwavering faith in Christ, glorifying God for everything that we do. And that is why God had created everything, including me and you, that we can glorify God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We are starting a new series. We want to know things. We have questions. We have doubts. And we want to bring these doubts and questions to you, Lord. Why did you create? Why did you do this? Whys? And through these whys, we can benefit to draw near to you more, to strengthen and grow in Christ. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us and have a right attitude and right questions to answer and ask you, Lord, so that we would grow with these questions that we have. Thank you, you answered to us this question. Why did you create? You created all these for me so that I can respond and glorify you in my life. Help us never, miss that in our life. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.